So once again, I want to welcome you all back to Church of Savior, our 10:30 service. And I mentioned earlier that, you know, just as much as in baptism we come into a special relationship with God, we also at the same time come into a special relationship with one another. And that relationship is very much at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. So today I want to talk a little bit more about this relationship. Last week, Pastor Seng Yen talked about marriage. Although I was not here because I was busy at a church camp in Malaysia preaching 4 different messages and then got sick on the way back. And actually, I'm still running a fever and all that. But, you know, I think I shall be able to get through this sermon, all right? But I want to continue a little bit. I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but I want to talk a bit more about singleness, right? Because I think this is actually a very important topic. Most of the time when we think about singleness, we think about those younger people, young adults who are maybe, you know, at that point in life where, you know, every Chinese New Year people are asking you, ah boy, you know, you got a girlfriend already or not, you know. Some of us may be thinking about that. But the truth of the matter is that we all enter into singleness sometimes in different ways. Some people are single by choice. But there are some people who are single not by choice, but by circumstances. For example, some people, they have to look after their parents, aging parents, and because of that, they are the only child. Because of that, they may not be able to socialize, and as a consequence, may not be able to get into a serious relationship of any kind. You can become single because you are too picky, and some of us might be. You want the Mr. Perfect. There are not too many of those around. Usually, they become perfect on the way, alright? There are people who become single at a later stage in life because of the death of a spouse. Never thought about that, you know. But, you know, after years of being married, suddenly you're single again. And then, of course, in our broken world, people are single by way of separation or divorce. You know, there are many, many ways in which we get to singleness. Below the problem of singleness, of course, is the more fundamental problem. And I want to look at that today and say a few things about that, okay? But let me begin in looking at Genesis chapter 2. When God created man, created the whole world and everything. And Genesis chapter 2, he says this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." Everyone say, not good. This is really peculiar. Because up until this point, you remember in the narrative of Genesis, everything God made was very good, right? He saw that it was good, and he said, this is good, you know. But it comes to man, he says, this is not good, something is wrong. Why is it not good? Because, obviously, it is not complete. It's not finished as yet. Now some people, you know, they say, well, you're single, consolation prize, you've got God, so why do you need to have a boyfriend or girlfriend, right? I don't think that really, I think that fails to understand the matter a little bit. Adam had God, right? Adam had all the God, all the presence of God directly with him. He was with, he had the animals all around him. I don't know how many of you have dogs at home. Dogs are really wonderful friends. Someone said, man's best friend, right? So he got man's best friend around him, I'm sure. You know, cats, not so much. You know, cats ignore me all the time. But dogs, you come home with me, jumping all over you, can't wait to see you, right? Well, obviously, for Adam, that is not enough. Because God said it is not good. The reason it's not good is very simple. By design, we are created not to be alone. We are created for intimacy, right? So, looking at Genesis, I think you have to recognize that just as we have other appetites, you won't tell someone, you have God, don't need to eat already. You won't say these kind of things, right? Even though there is a verse that says, you know, my food is to do the will of God. Okay, that said, we have some basic appetites. And intimacy, the need for intimacy is part of our human design, right? So, don't make anyone make you feel guilty that you are lonely and you're longing for someone. There's nothing wrong. That's very normal. Alright? For us to want to be in relationship, to want to be, to experience intimacy in our life. The second thing God said was, I will make a helper comparable to him. The word comparable means compatible. Right? Like I said, dogs and all that can provide some company, but it is not enough. It doesn't provide a comparability, something that's matching enough, because our relationship is not meant to be superficial. You need to find the right person. And always in life, you know, you click with some people, right? In Hokkien, we say gum, you know. You find someone that's, you just right, you are able to connect. It's not something that happens randomly. No, obviously, it's something that's quite special. So God says, I will make a helper comparable. This helper turns out to be woman. Now I know, you know, in the order of creation, you notice this order. God starts with heaven and earth, and it starts with the vegetation, the grass, the trees, right? And then you move up, you move to God creating the animals, right? And then you move up some more, God create man. And finally God create woman. So some people say, woman is the pinnacle of creation, because you move this order. Okay, I'm not a feminist or anything like that, but I think at the very least you say men and women are equal, on equal footing, at the very least, right? They occupy the highest pinnacle of God's creation, and they are special because they are able to relate to each other in a very unique way, right? And not just men and women, I suppose, people in general, right? Humans in general. Okay, I want to say a couple of things about this design of God. Really, four things I want to say today, right? Because I think all of us, in our human journey, we all are looking for many things. Of course, you look for basic survival things, food, water, roof over your head, clothes to wear. But beyond that, we are also, at the same time, looking for something more profound, something that can give us the experience of intimacy. However, that said, intimacy in a relationship is not a way to validate your self-worth as a person. Okay, what do I mean by that? Many people enter into a relationship thinking that that boyfriend or girlfriend is going to be your God, right? That boyfriend or girlfriend is going to make you feel better, make you feel special, make you feel worthwhile, you know, depending on how big the ring he buys you, depending on how expensive the price. It's almost as if in your mind, you know, how much that person loves me determines how much I'm worth, right? Conversely, if, you know, you are one of those people who, I don't know if you know this word, it's a new word to me, friend zone. You know what's friend zone? I mean, it's almost become boyfriend, girlfriend, but become BFF instead, right? Best friends forever. Okay, some people feel, wow, nobody wants me. I'm not in a relationship, therefore something is wrong with me, you know, because nobody wants me, right? So I feel so rejected. I'm less value. Okay, first of all, I want to say that whether you are in a relationship or not doesn't determine your self-worth as a person. Amen? Amen? Your value as a person doesn't come from those relationships. It comes from your relationship with God. God himself, who created you, saw that you are very valuable, so much so that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Even though you're imperfect in many ways, he still feels that you're so valuable that it's worth redeeming. Your value as a human being should come from that. It shouldn't come from, don't look to other human beings to give you your value. Look to God to give you value. Amen? So, relationships are not a way to validate your self-worth. Because if you think of relationship as a way of validating your self-worth, things are going to go badly. You know, I know of many people where you see a girl and a guy, right? And the guy is an abusive guy. I mean, he treats the girl badly, abuses her. And yet, sometimes, you might have seen this, the girl just clings on to the guy. Have you seen this? Because for the girl, it's like, no. If he reject me, then I'm worth nothing. No, that's confusing your self-worth and your need for intimacy. Don't confuse the two. The two are different. Amen? Okay, so the first thing is that don't do that. Don't confuse the two, right? Your self-worth is a settled thing. Now, again, some people, because of rejection in life and all that, we carry all kinds of brokenness into our relationship. And we kind of hope that this relationship can heal everything. Listen, it won't heal everything. It won't heal everything. That's why it's very important for you to deal with some of this self-awareness issue, so that when you enter in a relationship, don't project some of your other problems into the new relationship, thus making it worse. Second thing I want to say is that as much as you see the virtues of marriage being extolled in our culture, I want to say that marriage is not the highest goal in life. Okay? Now, you know, we live in a multimedia culture, and so often we have marriage and relationship and love are being elevated to disproportionately important places. You know, you watch all these movies, you know, they have nice movie, and then the guy walks in the room, suddenly everything slow motion when he sees the girl, right? The hair flings slowly, you walk over, they hug, and then they live happily ever after. And you say, wow, if only I can have some of that. Right? All the single people, they feel so sad. Oh yeah, I don't have that, right? First of all, let me tell you, marriage is not all it's cracked up to be, alright? They don't tell you this because if they told you, you won't get married. But those of us who are married know. Once you get married, you have a whole many mountains to cross. And then when the children comes along, that's the end of it, alright? They say life is a zoo, you know. So, many people don't know these things. So in their mind, They feel so sad and depressed. Listen, it's not all it's cracked up to be. Yes, it is very important. I mean, when you're hungry, you don't think of, you know, I wonder which book should I read. You think about food, right? Because that's the pressing need. So after you finish eating and finish drinking, you start to think about the next most important need. You start to think about, you know, do I have friends? Am I lonely, right? People, do I have intimacy? But after you get married, guess what? There are more important things beyond marriage in life, right? So it's not the most important thing. It is important, but it shouldn't be disproportionately placed. Now, again, even those people who are in marriage, I would say, just because you are married doesn't automatically mean that all your problems are solved. In fact, there are many people who are in marriage and still lonely because the relationship is not working, right? They are in marriage, but they still find, why is my need for intimacy still not completely resolved? Now, that can happen because it is a lot of hard work, all right? So, even though you extol marriage as something very important, I think we shouldn't get so confused to think that marriage is the end of everything, all right? It's not. If marriage is everything, then not being married is the end of everything. It is not the end of everything. Third thing I want to say, being a Christian doesn't automatically provide an answer to your relationship problems, right? Now, I know there are many people who worry, you know, wow, church has so many people, how come I cannot even find one person for me? God, out of all these people, please provide one person for me. I know there are people like that. I had a friend, you know, from many years ago when she was very young, she was concerned about getting married, so she prayed to God, you know, God, please show me who's going to be my husband. And then somehow she had this picture in her mind. Okay, now that part is still okay. But the next thing is what she did. She went up to the guy and told him, God told me you're supposed to marry me. Okay. Now, if that had been the will of God before, after that point, of God, you know, it's not. Guy ran away, you know. I think he wouldn't change church, you know, after that. So, I think sometimes we have this very naive notion that, you know, just because I'm Christian, listen, just because you're Christian doesn't mean you'll pass your exam, right? Just because you're Christian doesn't mean you'll find a job. Just because you're Christian doesn't mean that you'll be able to buy a house. So why is it that just because you're Christian, we'll automatically have a relationship? It's not true. Relationships take effort. They take quite a lot of effort. In Genesis chapter 24, Abraham was old already. The Bible says Abraham was old. I don't know why he said he was old, because I thought many years before that he was old already, okay? By that time, I think it was almost 150, 170 years old already. Very old already, alright? And being old means that he's going to die. But he has a problem, because Isaac, his son, was still single. So, you know, he was a bit worried because, you know, am I going to see any grandchildren, right? So he got a bit worried about it, and he decided that he's going to do something about it. He asked, by the time Sarah had died already, so he asked the servant, the older servant of the house, something like the general manager of his estate, come, I want you to do something for me. First, you must promise me. Now, you read Genesis chapter 24, verse 2, he does something very strange. He asked him to put his hand under his thigh. Okay? Now, some of you may be confused, what is this? Actually, in those days, that's how you take an oath. Today, with sumpah, you take a hand like this, right? Sometimes, children, you do pinky promise. Those days, put your hand under your thigh. Okay? So, next time you want to ask your friend to promise something, put your hand under my thigh. Okay? So he said, promise me this. Okay, and this is what he made him. Okay? You can see on the screen. He says, you know, I will make you swear by the Lord God of heaven and on earth that you will not, okay, not, because you remember he wants a wife for the son Isaac, right? He said, you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites. I'm going to pause here for a second, right? Now think about this, it's really, really interesting. It's not as if Canaan had no women. There are many, many women in Canaan, right? Why is it that Abraham, in spite of his desire for Isaac to have a wife, said this? Well, because for Abraham, as important as this is, there are more important things. And in this case, the more important thing was his covenant with God, right? Because you know that God wants to keep him and make him the progenitor of many people, right? The promise of many nations. So, of a nation and many peoples being blessed. So, even though that was important, now this is really important. Because some of us, when we are so desperate for that one thing, sometimes you lose track of everything else. You give up everything else, nothing else, you sacrifice everything else. Abraham had the soundness of mind to recognize, yes, this is very important, but I will not forget my covenant with God. Okay, so anyway, he says, you will go to my country, means go back to Haran, in the way up in the north, to my family and take a wife for my son, Isaac. So he wants someone from his own tribe, okay? So now this servant, right, he has this very difficult task. I mean, how do you know which one is the right one? You know, I know many of us who are single at one point in time might have struggled with this. How do I know who is the right person for me? Well, he didn't know. So all the way along the journey up, he must pray. He prayed God. And then he came up with this idea. Lord, okay, I got this. Okay. Of all the women I approach, right, I will ask them for water. And if they offer to water my camels, right? Now, when I say water the camel, it's not camel sit here and then you water it. Right? It's like feed the camels to water, okay? Give the camels water to drink. Okay, he said, if they will also offer the camel drink, then I know this is the one. Okay, so he happily goes up there. He comes to that region, you know, and maybe even the tribal area. And he, lo and behold, this girl, Rebecca, comes up. The Bible says she was very beautiful. Always helps when she's beautiful, right? Can you imagine come home with someone that's not so good looking and then Isaac has a shock. But anyway, she was very beautiful. Although I must say that beauty is fleeting. Alright? And nowadays, beauty is completely fake. Because on the internet, you know, they got all this special software after you take picture. Yeah, I was wondering why all these people, their eyes are so big like goldfish are there. Actually, the software makes your eyes big. Do you know this? Things like Meitu and all that. Listen, you can't believe what you see. Right? You can even see, even without this, now their makeup is so good. Left face, right face, you can get a shock, you know. Right? Okay, beauty is fleeting, alright? Intimacy goes a lot deeper than beauty, alright? But beauty can be a good thing, I mean, it's not the final determinant. Okay, anyway, Rebecca comes out, he asks for a drink, and lo and behold, Rebecca says, after you finish drinking, I will give your camel water as well. And in his mind, he says, yes, this is the one, right? And then he does this weird thing. He takes out a golden nose ring, okay, and some other golden bangles, and gives to her. I don't know what she was thinking. Say, I give you water, and he suddenly give me nose ring, right? So, half a shekel's worth of just a lot of gold, all right? Very heavy ring, you know, all the way down. So anyway, she thought, okay, maybe this guy is a headhunter, some kind, right? He asked, can I go back to your family, you know? Cut a long story short, they went back to the family, had a long conversation with the family, bargain, you know, and the family said, okay, we will allow Rebecca to marry Isaac. Okay, so the next day, he wants to take Rebecca back. Family had a change of heart. Now, those of you who are in relationship before, you know, change of heart is very painful. You know, I mean, so one day the girl like you, one day the girl don't like you. You know, it's like roller coaster up and down. You know, one day you are in heaven, next day you are in hell. You know, okay, so next day you want to go already. I think the mother felt that, oh yeah, I'm our poor little Rebecca, you cannot. They try to bargain. Can you maybe let her stay here longer? Maybe get Isaac to come back here and all this. You know, Abraham was very clear. Abraham said, under no circumstances would you have Isaac go back there. Why? Because Abraham was thinking about the covenant. The promise was not in Haran. The promise was in Canaan, right? It was in a land that you leave Haran to go to. So no matter what they bargained, finally the family gave up. They said, okay, we'll ask Rebecca. If Rebecca says she don't want to go, she cannot go. So they asked Rebecca. Rebecca says, I will go. Right? So the mother was very sobby and cried, and they make this long journey all the way down. As they were coming back, the Bible says that Isaac was coming back from meditating in the fields of Beer Lahairoi. Okay, so some place. Those of you who have ever been to the place called Petra in Jordan, right? Near Israel. It's around that area. Okay, so he's coming back meditating. What was he meditating upon? I don't know. Maybe he's thinking about, I hope he finds the right person for me. Okay. Anyway, he's coming back from a long way away. Isaac sees the caravan. Okay, sees the camels all coming back. And then, on the caravan, Rebecca sees, from far away, there's this guy. Okay. Now, the Bible never says things went to slow motion. Right? Didn't. In fact, Rebecca said, who is that one? Right? And, the servant said, oh, that's my master, the one you're going to marry. Immediately, she covered her veil, right? So, finally, they got married. Now, what's the point of all this? It takes a lot of effort. It wasn't just like, I pray and immediately, next day you open the door, that's the person there. You know, many of us, sometimes you have this strange thinking that relationships are automatic. In fact, it takes a lot of effort. Jacob, you know, had to work 14 years for the love of his life, Rachel, right? All this tells us that relationships take effort. And I want to go on to say that just because you're married doesn't mean that you automatically have intimacy. Right? Because intimacy is not automatic. Even if you're in a relationship, you have to invest in the relationship in order to make it work. The only advantage of being married is that the other person cannot run away. Alright? Because you see, before marriage, you're very worried. you spend 2-3 hours making up just for a date, right? The date maybe lasts you 2 hours and 3 hours, but you spend 2 or 3 hours to look well. Why? Be afraid that if you don't look right, you know, there might not be a second date, right? They say first date is easier because everyone taking a risk. Second date is the one that you really... Okay, so, you know, you spend all this time because you fear rejection. All of us are afraid of that. But after you're married, forget the makeup. You know, wake up in the morning, the breath, the makeup, the lack of makeup. You look alright. Don't worry. You cannot run away now, right? So, you are committed to make the relationship work, right? You're committed to invest in the relationship. And that is what makes marriage special. It's because of the commitment to make the relationship work. Commitment is what makes, you know, nobody marries a perfect husband or perfect wife. You become the perfect husband or the perfect wife, provided you invest in the relationship. You follow? Okay, so it is not an automatic thing. It takes considerable effort, right? The fourth thing I want to say is that we ultimately do not look for superficial relationships. There are all kinds of relationships that we're engaged in, right? But what we really want is we want to have profound relationship. People that can really connect to. That you can really talk to and know that the person understands you, alright? Now, there's another character in the Bible. His name is Samson, right? And he was also a young man, single man. He was also in a situation where he was kind of feeling lonely and wanting to have some intimacy. But his approach was completely different from Abraham's approach, right? So in Judges chapter 14, it says this. Now Samson went on to Timnah. Now again, if you travel in Israel, down in the south, there's this place called Timnah, which is a copper mine today, right? Well, it's not today a copper mine. It used to be Solomon's copper mine. But today you find that there's a tabernacle in the wilderness. That area, okay? Now today, there's only rocks there, but apparently back in those days, there's a Philistine community. So Samson goes down to this place, and he saw a woman in Timnah, of the daughters of the Philistines, right? Not one of their own tribe, one of the foreigners in the land, whom they're not supposed to marry. So, he went out and told his father and mother. The reason he tells his father and mother is because those days, it's the father and mother who arranges this type of thing, okay? Today, we talk a lot about love and romance and all this. I'm telling you, this is a modern construct, right? This whole idea of romance is a relatively modern construct. Back in the older time, our day, not my day, before my time, right? My grandparents, for example, they didn't marry because of love, as we understand it, or romance, right? In fact, my grandmother married my grandfather because of the Japanese occupation. And in those days, you were a single girl during the Japanese occupation. There's a high chance you might be taken away and some bad thing happened to you, right? So, back in those days, it was the parents who arranged for marriage. So, Samson says to the mother and the father, says, I've seen this woman, okay? She looks very hot, right? And the daughters of the Philistines, now therefore, go get her for me. Why did Samson say that? Because the next verse is not on your screen. In the next verse, he says, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now, this Samson has this strange idea of relationship. For him, the relationship is about pleasing me, fulfilling my need. Now, there is a measure in a relationship where there's a mutual fulfilling of need, right? But in this case, all Samson cared about is meet my need, pleases me well. And to him, he just sees the girl, right? Very superficial. In fact, superficial relationships leave you wanting. It leaves you empty. In fact, after you have a meeting with somebody, you ask yourself, why did I waste all that time coming to meet this person? Because you don't have something more profound, right? So, superficial relationships also, I mean, they leave us empty. And even in marriage, like I said, you can have superficial relationships. People who don't build up intimacy as they go along. Married, but not building intimacy, right? So what do? You end up in this strange situation that though you're married, you're still feeling lonely. And that's even worse, right? Because you're not married, then you can sort of figure out finding someone. But you're married, you're kind of stuck in that arrangement, but you still feel lonely. What do you do? Most people will end up trying to fill the emptiness with all kinds of superficial relationships, all kinds of non-fulfilling things. I mean, it could be porn, right? I understand why people do this. It's because there's emptiness inside, right? So, they do all these things. They get into all kinds of bad relationships, you know. And those things, they leave you empty. They're not finally satisfying. For a short moment, it distracts you. In the long term, it will not satisfy you. So, Samson went about it the wrong way, right? Superficial relationships. That was number 3 or number 4. I have no idea. Okay, I guess that brings me to the point I'm asking. So therefore, is it possible to have intimacy even for a single person, even outside of marriage? And I think the answer is quite simply yes. All right? Physical intimacy is something that usually you find within marriage, all right, to some measure. And outside of marriage, there's still intimacy to be found, because not all intimacy is physical. Right? When Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, he says, "Father, please make them one, even as you and I are one." Okay, what's he talking about? He's talking about intimacy. He's not talking about make them into one ball, okay? Because even as we are one ball. No, he's talking about relationship. So God has this perfectly intimate relationship, the Godhead, right? And therefore, he's praying that we too can have that. Now, why would he pray that if we can't? Right? Obviously, it is possible. You think of people like Jonathan and David, right? They had really good friends. And even among us, we have good friends, not necessarily with an opposite sex, right? But many times, we don't think that, because why? We are so caught up in the need. All we can think of is that one thing, one track mind. Okay, now I'm just telling you, step back sometimes, right? And remember that there's more to this. Okay, so it is possible. So if it is possible, why then did Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, says, it is good to remain unmarried, okay? Or it's good not to have, don't touch a woman, right? There are many reasons why he could say it. First of all, chapter 7 is very special, 1 Corinthians 7. In this chapter, 3 or 4 times, Paul says, this is my opinion. This is not a commandment. This is my opinion, all right? Why does Paul have this opinion? Well, some scholars think that Paul had been married before, okay? And I got no time to explain why we feel this way, but there are many texts that suggest that he had been married before. But maybe out of his own marriage experience, okay, at that point of time, his wife probably died already, he was giving his personal, considered pastoral opinion. But he gave that opinion under the context of chapter 7, verse 25. He says, I suppose, therefore, it is good because of the present distress. You see, the church was being persecuted at the time. It was a very hard time. It was almost like wartime. And Paul is saying, look, I will save you this trouble of getting into all this and brought into all this relationship. Because right now, there are other priorities. And the first thing we want to know, in life, there are many priorities. This may be a priority, but it's certainly not the only priority. So whilst you go about pursuing relationship, pursuing intimacy, don't forget your other priorities. So Paul says, you know, right now, there are more important things. Secondly, Paul says in chapter 7, verse 29, he says, I say, brethren, time is short. And what that means is that they believe Jesus could be coming back imminent. Okay? So it could be next week, could be next month, at most next year. So this is kind of how they were thinking, right? So that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Very extreme, right? So what is Paul saying? Paul is talking about priorities, right? Not to say that you can't marry, or marriage is bad, or intimacy is bad. So those people who take chapter 7 and say, there, you see, Paul says single is good. No. I think, again, fail to understand the context of the Bible. Relationship and intimacy is the design of God for us, right? But we are reminded there are other priorities in life. So in closing, there are really 5 takeaways I want to say, right? First of all, invest in your relationships. All right, everyone say invest. You know, we invest in money, we invest in your insurance, you invest in your child's education, you invest in housing, we invest in a lot of things. But those things you cannot take with you. After 99 years, the property don't belong to you anymore, right? For many of us, anyway. After some time, most of our investments, they wear away. But relationships, when you die, okay, on the day you are lying on your deathbed, about to draw your last breath, I don't think you'll be thinking, oh yeah, I have such a nice house, you know. I'm glad I extended the pay show, you know. I'm glad I did the renovation on the back there. Oh, the government put a new lift. You won't think this kind of thing. Of course you won't think this kind of things, right? You won't think, wow, I got so many degrees while you're lying there, you look at the wall there, wow, all my doctorate degree, master's degree. You won't think, you will be thinking, who are the people near you? Am I right? Sometimes we get confused in life because we chase so many things until you lost track of what's more important. Actually, relationships, you need to invest in that, right? Don't just sit there and wait for a relationship to come to you. You go out first. Relationship comes from a heart of giving, right? You learn to give. So that's really important, right? People, when they expect things to automatically happen, usually nothing happens. Secondly, build a healthy self-esteem. So important. Because if your self-esteem is not healthy, you're going to project all kinds of things and mess up your relationship, or at least potential relationship. This is why inner healing sometimes is important. Basically, what inner healing is, helping us to deal with some of our experiences of the past so that we don't carry the same mistakes in the future. Basically, that's what you want to do, right? You want to have this inner healing so that you don't get bogged down by the past. And yet, because this is not an easy thing. Some of us grow up in a very difficult past, alright? Very painful situation that causes us to be quite insecure in our life. So when you enter in relationships, unwittingly, you want those relationships to make up for all those insecurities. It's not going to work, right? So we want to make sure that you have a healthy self-esteem. You know, talk to people, become more self-aware. You know, spend time to, like Isaac, meditate, right? Have realistic expectations. Your husband or your wife is not God. They cannot do everything for you. In fact, some things only God can do for you. Third of all, enjoy your freedom as a single. Okay, now those people who married, you understand this immediately. But those people who are single, you don't know, you know. Because the grass always looks greener on the other side, right? Until you go to their side, how come same color? One? Oh, it's just the shade only, you know. Now you cannot, right? Too late, okay. But what do I mean by freedom? That's some, you see, once you get married, there are some privileges, alright? Privileges of physical intimacy and all that. But listen, even as a single, you have privileges that the married person doesn't have. For example, as a single person, you can go out with anybody. Right? You can go out with anyone of the opposite sex. Nobody will say anything. But if you are married and try to do that, you won't stay married for very long. Right? Anyhow, go out with any girl or any guy, right? So, in singleness, most people, they are too busy focusing on the grass on the other side. Until they completely forget that right now, this thing is not going to last forever for most of us. Right? So, while you are in that single state of singlehood, there are some freedoms that allow you to relate to people in ways that you may not be able to relate to as a married person, right? In fact, for many of us, you find that, you know, when you're a student, you got many friends, right? Once you start working, your friend circle drop to very, very small, right? Once you get married, you know, it's just like that. Only a few people because too busy. And once the kids come along, forget it, right? It's all over, right? So, sorry, actually, I love kids, right? I shouldn't say this. Okay, fourth, don't rush into committing yourself. You know, young people, because they live in this highly idealized, romanticized relationship, they can't wait to commit themselves. Even boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, on the phone, what their boyfriend's nickname, 老公, right? You're not married yet, lah. Please, lah, you know. Don't commit yourself before you have to commit yourself, because once you commit yourself, you cannot uncommit yourself already. So, don't rush into tying the knot, because you only get one shot at this. And I think a lot of people, they jump in too fast. Then after that, they regret, huh? Now, if you have bias regret, Zalora, you order thing you don't like, you can send it back. But you get married, you can't send back to who? Right? So, you can't send back, okay? And last of all, really very important thing, and this is something that pertains. By the way, all these truths are applicable to all of us, regardless of whether you're married or you're single. You understand? Because all of us have a need for intimacy. We all will feel, because now, having said all this, I must say that there's something quite wonderful in a blossoming relationship. I mean, you were, this time I don't need to tell you, unless you really don't know yet. But if you experience it before, you can know our relationship can come with some really wonderful experiences, right? So that is a good thing. That part I don't have to say. But I do want to end with saying this. Put God at the center of your pursuit, right? Don't make people feel guilty that you're pursuing somebody. It's okay, right? Whether girl chase guy chase girl, this is the 21st century, right? Or whether your mothers or fathers arrange for you, right? That's also okay. I know quite a few people who met online, okay? And I suppose in the past, you know, last time we never do this. That's because last time you don't have internet, right? So, but now it's a whole new situation. But what I want to say really is, in all these pursuits, you notice, you've got to keep God at the center. If you don't put God at the center of your pursuit, and you allow whatever the thing you're pursuing become your God, man, you're in for a world of pain. Seriously, right? In so many ways, you're going to find regret, you're going to find disappointment, all sorts of things will happen. Keep God at the center of your pursuit, even if it means that you have to be patient. And again, that's the other thing. And most of us don't know how to be patient in relationships. We want everything to be automatic, right? Now, because we live in a world where everything is automatic, most of the time, things like this don't happen, right? So, five things, invest in relationships, build up a healthy self-esteem. Really important, right? For any single or even married couple, enjoy the freedom of singleness if you are there, okay? Don't always feel that the grass on the other side is greener. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you may find that while you're enjoying your life as single and you're growing in your healthy self-esteem, usually it's in that kind of place where you're smiling the best and you're the prettiest and someone will come along and ask you for water. And then, you know, because you're happy, right? Yeah, why do, no, can you imagine, Abraham, the servant comes to Rebecca, Rebecca, you know, in Hokkien, say bin chow chow. It means your face like papaya, you know. So, why you ask me for water? I also don't know you. You know how many people use me or not? Every people ask me for water. Okay, here, have a bit of water. Have a. Finish lah, you know. But I think Rebecca was probably smiling. Hey, hi stranger. Your water, no problem. Okay, give water, you know. Well, you must have come from a long distance. Eh? Hey, why don't I give your camel water? Bang! Suddenly the nose ring come out, right? I think sometimes we don't understand. We are our greatest saboteurs, you know. We sabotage ourselves because you're looking down all the time, right? And you are so discouraged all the time. You're so wrapped up in your misery all the time. You know, we forget how to smile and look at the grass on your side. I think maybe because Rebecca was simply smiling. Well, she was beautiful, but probably because she was smiling. All right? I don't think you can be beautiful without smiling. So I think when we think about our own person, okay, so there's something, okay, while you are single, enjoy it. Okay? Don't rush into tying the knot. Okay? You only get to do it one time and put God at the center of your pursuit. Will you stand up as we pray, and then we ask the music team to lead us in our closing song. I'd like to pray for all of you. I know some of us find ourselves in that situation. By that situation, I mean a longing for intimacy. Doesn't matter whether you're married or you're single. Maybe you're married, you say, you know, I don't really find all that intimacy that seemed to have been advertised for marriage. And I pray that as you pursue, as you invest in the relationship. Okay, of course you're married, you don't invest in the relationship with other people, right? But you are married, invest in your relationship, make it work, right? It's not about romance all the time. It really has to do with what you put into the marriage. If you are putting nothing into the marriage, nothing's going to come up from it, right? And then work on your self-esteem. That could really mess you up big time if you don't deal with it, right? Father, we're going to pray for this whole church here. We thank you for those who have been baptized today because they have come into a relationship with you, but also with one another here. And for all of us here, Father, we know we have been designed for intimacy. We're not designed to be lonely. We are designed to connect with people, to enjoy the fellowship of people. And if it is your plan for many of us to maybe even find a special someone that we can really relate to at a very deep level. Father, we pray, Lord, that you help us to keep you focused as our center, even as we go about investing in our relationships. For some of us here today who are broken from many past experiences, be it rejection, disappointment, hurts, Father, I pray those things will not cause them to build a wall around them that prevents them from reaching out. At the same time, Father, I pray that none of us will make relationship our gods, Lord, and place undue expectations on those that are sure to be disappointed at some point in the future. Father, I pray that we will have a healthy view towards intimacy, that we can enjoy what you've given us, whether single or married. And as we go forward, Lord, that you cause all of us to come into the relationships that you intended for each one of us, Lord. We thank you that in the midst of all these things, you are faithful. In fact, the servant prays, God, I thank you for your faithfulness, for your covenant loyalty. And because Abraham was faithful to you in his covenant loyalty, you were faithful to Abraham. Father, I pray that as we are faithful to you, you will also be faithful to us. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen. Shall we sing this song together?
Forever in my life, Lord. You are forever in my life. You see me through the seasons. Cover me with your hand and lead me in your right.
Father, we want to thank you. We pray that, you know, whatever season of life we may find ourselves in, Lord, whether single, married, or even as we're aging, we will find your pleasure and your joy, as well as your purpose and your will in each of these seasons, Lord, that we will not miss it because we are longing for the next season. So, Father, help us to do that. Father, we also pray, Lord, that, you know, as we go from this place, Lord, that your blessing may go with each and every single one of us, Lord. As you help us to invest in our relationships, just as we invest in our relationship with you. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of you, now and always. Amen, amen. Service is over. Next week is Father's Day, okay? So don't forget your fathers. God bless all of you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.